You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education podcast special focusing on the 2015 100 Under 50 World University Rankings. It's the fourth annual Horizon Scanning List of Young Universities. My name's Chris Parr. I'm joined by Rankings Editor Phil Beatty and Rankings Reporter Ellie Bothwell. We'll get to the all-important top 10 soon. There's a new number one, something to listen out for. And hear a little bit more too from Ellie on some of the headline findings from this year's table. But first, to you, Phil. Surely if you limit a ranking to only universities under 50 years old, you're sort of effectively ruling out the biggest players, the Oxbridge, the Harvards, the Stanfords, so on and so forth. Why then do you do it? Why then say, OK, here's the top universities if we ignore those sort of well-established top universities?
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting one. When I first created it, there was a slight sense of, are we just giving the minnows a chance to shine by blocking out all the big performers? And there is an element of that, but I think it speaks to the dynamics of the sector at the moment, that there are nations really keen to invest in their higher education systems. There are issues around whether you try and reinvent or rebuild universities, or whether you can build them from scratch. If you can build them from scratch, do you need centuries of tradition and history to excel? So I think it speaks very much around the changing dynamics of the universities sector. And on one level, there's a sense that it's just about the future stars. It's about who's next. The average age of universities in the traditional world university rankings is about 200. The old universities have got incredibly entrenched advantages. You know, they've had centuries of wealth accumulation. They've got reputations to match. They've got fine traditions of scholarship. They're often part of the fabric of the cities they're part of, custodians of national treasures, generations of alumni. And, you know, people started off saying, that's not fair. How can you rank us, a 20, 30-year-old university, against those ancient elite? And we just want to shake things up and have a look at the rising stars, and I think it's a really good and exciting opportunity to do that.
Before we give the top 10, to contrast those 200-year-old institutions and a couple off this 100 under 50 rank, showing that you can make an impact, I guess, in quite a short period of time. The University of Duisburg-Essen is equal 59th. That was founded in 2004. And at number 37 on the list, or joint 37th, is Austria's Medical University of Vienna, which was established in 2004. Sorry, I should say the Germany one there was 2003. It's 1 year older. But that top 10 for you. At 10 is Paris Sud University. At 9, the University of Warwick. At 8, the University of California, Santa Cruz. At 7, the University of California, Irvine. At 6, Maastricht University. At 5, Nanyang Technological University. At 4, Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. 3 is Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, or KAIST. 2 is Pohang University of Science and Technology, and at number 1, École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne. Ellie, you've written up this year's 100 under 50 ranking for the magazine. What trends, what headline findings have you focused on?
Well, yeah, the big news is that Switzerland's EPFL has topped the list for the first time. It beats South Korea's POSTECH, which was number 1 for the last 3 years, and is now number 2, as you said. The other big trend is that Australia has overtaken the UK as the best represented nation. It's got 16 universities in the list. The UK has 15, so not far behind.
So Australia, the number one nation. Switzerland, the nation with the number one institution. Not such a good year, not such a good ranking generally, Phil, for the US. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a reality here that, you know, a lot of the most exciting development in US higher education was a kind of post-war thing. They were doing a lot of investment in the 40s and 50s. And actually, this is a ranking of those institutions under 50 years old. So I think it's really important to be clear that there's an arbitrary element to the ranking, that we've chosen 50 years as the cutoff point. It's very fluid in the sense that if you're older than 50, you're out. We did that after a lot of consultation around the sense of, you know, what is legitimately a young institution, what is a new institution. So America misses out on technical grounds. But I think what's really interesting is that the power of East Asia, or Asia Pacific, if you include Australia as well in this ranking, that it actually shows you that, you know, the North America, Western Europe have got some ancient institutions, some absolutely fantastic institutions that dominate the world rankings, but you've actually got a sense in East Asia and Australia that there's just wave after wave of new generation universities. So you've got the 60s, 70s and 80s are all represented in Australia. You know, deregulation in Australia, more competition in Australia has allowed slightly more fleet of foot and more dynamic institutions, more focused institutions to do well. And in Asia, you've got places like Hong Kong UST that were founded in the 90s, and they've become massive world players in a very short space of time. Places like Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. And I think the key there is that they've just had incredibly strong backing from governments who wanted to build something quickly and have been willing to invest and recognize the economic importance of spending on universities, investing in higher education. I think that's the exciting bit about the list. There's all the technicalities around, are you 51 years old or 52 years old? But actually this is about these really exciting 20, 30 year old institutions who are powering up these rankings.
So it's money. If you want to make the grade in the 150 rankings, I know this is a theme we discussed in the reputation rankings as well, you need governments just to whack some buck in and pay for you to improve.
I think that's true to a certain extent. You need hard cash to build the infrastructure, to pay the salaries, to attract people. If you look at the Britain's best young universities, they're all the 60s institutions, so they had to sort of lure people out of the cities into these plate glass campuses. So quality of life's an issue. But I think also you need dynamic leadership. I think, you know, you can't build a world-class institution overnight. You can bring together extremely talented people very rapidly through smart recruitment, through serious investment in their salaries and their terms and conditions. But if you look at the top of this list, a lot of them are highly focused specialist institutions. The very top dominated by science and technology institutions, but I think it's no accident that they're institutions with a clear sense of mission. They've got a sense that they're not trying to do everything. I think one of the great advantages of young universities is that perhaps they don't have the baggage of history. History brings loads of great assets and attributes, but it can bring baggage. It can actually make you feel a sort of sense of obligation to provide a very wide portfolio of courses and research areas. It can give you all sorts of obligations around governance and leadership and ancient structures of management, which admittedly serve many institutions very, very well indeed, like Oxford and Cambridge. But these institutions have got these much more executive style leaders, or tend to anyway, certainly in some of the markets, and they're very focused. They can actually concentrate on niche strengths and really invest in those areas and really focus on what they're good at.
A couple of other observations from the rankings. Spain does well, has 6 institutions in the list. You'll find out which ones they are on our website. I'll give you the details shortly. France does well, 5 in the top 100, and as Phil alluded to there as well, Asia making strong gains and a very strong showing again this year. The rankings are launched, Phil, at a summit out over in Ireland. I know this is a regular thing now. Last year was the inaugural Young University Summit out in Miami. This year you're in Ireland. Who's partnered with and sort of what's on show there?
So we're going to Dublin City University. It's a really great gathering, actually. We have the president of EPFL in the room. We have the president of Nanyang Technological. We have the president of Maastricht University. Some of these really exciting universities who are in the upper echelons of these rankings. It's an incredibly successful event. It's very, very niche. You know, you have to be young, you have to be under 50, but we have more than 100 delegates from several, a couple of dozen countries. And what's really nice is that you find that these universities with very different governance structures, very different leadership situations, different histories, all do unite under this common sense of shared mission, shared values, that they're in somewhat the underdogs. You know, they lack some of the strengths and the traditions of the old universities, but I think they actually come together at this event with a real sense of optimism and dynamism and excitement. They feel like they're the disruptors. So I'm actually really excited about this event in terms of talking about the common challenges, but also the common opportunities of these young rising stars.
And Ellie, you'll be out there reporting?
Yes, I will, yeah.
Indeed, so keep an eye on timeshighereducation.co.uk for updates, reports from that conference. And that's all for this podcast special. You'll find all of the results of the fourth annual 150 rankings on the rankings website, which you'll find at www.thewur.com, or you can go to timeshighereducation.co.uk and click the rankings tab. You can also follow our rankings dedicated Twitter feed, that's at THE World Uni Rank. But that's all for this THE 150 rankings podcast special.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.